Our topic for today is Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. We're learning Siman Kuf Beis, Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. I'm going to talk about five, six things that have to do with Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. But by and large, my hope is to not talk about anything that you've learned about. Which is to say, I'm not going to talk to you about, you know, about what it says. I might by mistake say something like that, but that's not really the goal. The goal is really that's why I'm here, is because you want to hear, you know, practical applications or things that you maybe didn't come across in your regular seeing things. Okay. And also, even though everybody's sitting in their regular places, feel free to say what you want to in the middle. I don't really want to sit here and talk for the next 45 minutes. So anybody wants to pipe in, please. Okay, I'm going to do it in a sort of order based on the order of the dinim. And that's it is. Okay, we'll start is two things that have to do with a common example of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, what most people consider Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, a common example of that is Chadash. Okay, the Chadash means is we're not allowed to eat certain, not eat from the five main grains until they've lived through a Pesach. Okay, so that is to say, in practice, that means is from about Rosh Hashanah until Pesach, there are certain foods that you can't eat. For those people who only eat Yashin, they can't eat those certain foods. Okay, these five grains in their different ways, roughly from Rosh Hashanah, it works out to Pesach in practice. So that sounds like a very simple Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, because it's a food that today is Aser, and tomorrow it's going to be Mutter. If I have a cookie today that's Yichadosh, I can't eat it. Come, you know, a few months from now, I'm going to be allowed to eat it. Okay, now, there is a question as to whether Chadash is considered Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin when it's owned by a Yid, and that is because if I own a cookie today and that cookie is Chadash, lots of the things that I would own that are Chadash are going to be Chametzdik also. So that is to say, before they become Mutter on the first day of Chol Moed Pesach, before that comes, they're going to become Aser, because you know the own Chametz already come from Erev Pesach. So there's reason to think, Shachter said it this way, that we would assume that the thing is considered to be considered Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin if a Yid owns it, because as it stands it will not become Mutter. Now I know I could sell my chametz and I can get it and this and that, but as it stands without anything happening, it would not be Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. The simple cases where it is Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin are going to be, which is what we're going to talk about, is when someone who's not Jewish owns it. Okay, it's only also for a Yid to own chametz. But and I have a question: should I buy this food which has in it a question of bittul of chadash mixed into it? Well, that's a question of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. That is Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, because come a few months from now, it's going to be mutter. Today I can't eat it, but tomorrow I can. So that's a typical, and we're going to assume that it's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So now, there's an item called malt, or it's called barley malt, or malted barley, or malted barley extract, all the same thing. And that is, if you take barley, Not the barley you have in your house, the full grain of barley before you remove the outer layers, the full barley seed, and you stick it into water, into a warm environment, it starts to grow. Okay? What it does is to start to grow is it creates and releases an enzyme. Okay? That cutie little piece of barley creates an enzyme, okay? And that enzyme breaks down the starch that the barley is made out of, and it turns it into a sugary sweet substance. And then that sweet substance is something that the barley plant can live off of, enough to start growing roots and growing leaves, and then once it's starting to grow, then it lives off the environment. Okay, but to get it going for the first couple of days, all that energy is packed into that little seed, and it turns the starch into sugar, into a sweet sugar, and then that sugar it could make things out of, and it goes for the first couple of days. Okay, that sweet, the enzyme that it produces and the sweet sugar that it makes are very desirable. Okay. And they're used for different kinds of products. So, if you have barley malt, or malt, or malted barley, it's all the same types of stuff, and you have it grown, stuff that was planted after Pesach, we have some that's a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, and now, what happens if that gets mixed into other foods? So now, the simplest thing you make out of that is beer. Okay, so the beer is not, if no taruvas, it's just plain old barley turned into beer. Okay, so if it's chadash, it's chadash, you're finished. Okay, you can't eat that. Yes?
You're putting aside Shechter's heter for chadash, right?
I'm saying we're working with the assumption that it is Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Okay, it is. For example, it's owned by someone who's not Jewish. Okay, I'm working with that assumption that it's not considered, there is a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. So if it was beer, it's not a question of a taruvas. There's no Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Okay, but what happens if you look on your at home, you look at a bag of flour, lots of flour has barley malt mixed into it. Okay, lots of flour. Regular wheat flour has barley malt into it for whatever reason why they add that in. Okay, in tiny amounts they add that in. Okay, so it's a typical taruvas. You're taking flour and mixing in this barley malt into it. Now, if I know that my flour is yashan, for example, it's wheat, it's winter wheat, so I know it's yashan, but mixed into it is this tiny amount of malted barley mixed into it. Or what if I have cornflakes? Take cornflakes, and Rice Krispies almost always have barley mixed into them. So what happens if they have this? So the corn is obviously, it's not a yashan or a chartash question because it's not one of the five grains. So what do I do about the fact that in it is mixed this small amount of something that's chadash in there? Now, in there's its own question of maybe it's not bulk because it's avito of time. Okay? That's its own question as to whether maybe in certain of these things, let's say in the cornflakes, maybe it's avito of time. Okay? Most assume that it's not because it contributes a similar taste to what was in there before. It's a little more unique, but that's its own question. Maybe it's not bulk because it's avito of time. But in flour, it's not avito of time. It's just there, a tiny amount. Yes? So the answer is correct. The answer is that when the malted barley is in my flour, because in my flour, that's min b'sheinu, okay? The din of davar sheyesh hametirin only applies by min b'minay. Okay, so we don't have to worry about it when it's mixed into my flour or it's mixed into my cornflakes. It doesn't make a difference. Now, that a variation of that happened when there was once a company was making yashan flour, and by mistake, chadash flour got mixed into it. I'm not talking about this happened in a kitchen. We're talking about, you know, thousands of pounds of flour, and by mistake they got chadash flour mixed into it, and the chadash flour, there was so little of it that would have been bottled. Okay, the chadash flour that was in the formulation they were making would have been bottled, but it was davar sheyesh hametirin. Here they were sitting, and here it was flour and flour. Okay, here it was flour and flour. We weren't going to get away with the fact of saying, oh, it's mimbashay namina, which is an easy kula. When I come to my regular flour, it's flour with barley. Those are two different things. So over there, I don't remember the numbers in the end, but there, I'm mentioning it to remind you of another rule. Okay, there's the rule of salekes minoi, kamisha enoi. We can ignore the fact that there's flour and flour and say, wait a second, maybe the chadash flour is bottled into the corn or the rice or everything else that's in the formula, whatever these people are trying to make, that we don't have to just look at the flour. We don't say, oh, it's min b'minoi. It's true, it's min b'minoi. We can ignore the min b'minoi and just deal with min b'she'enimin and see if then potentially if it could be bottled. Otherwise, yes, we'd be up the creek and it would have been davar sheyesh hametirin, and we'd say davar sheyesh hametirin is not bottled. Okay?
That's assuming that the wheat that was mixed in wasn't itself chadash. It was wheat that was yashan with malt in it.
No, I'm talking about that it was actually chadash wheat in yashan wheat.
So where's the salad here?
So then there are other things in the formulation. There are other things that were in there that we could say, well, it's flour and flour, so now we do have mindamina. We often don't. Malt is not mindamina, but in this kind of case, it would have been mindamina, but we could ignore the mindamina and deal with just the mindamina to make ourselves be bakman and shmikim
atar.
It depends on the formulation. It depends on what you're dealing with. Again, in your house, that's not common to happen because you don't put in such tiny ingredients. When here it was a mistake in a company, and they mixed in this and that, and the wrong things got mixed together, then if it worked, it worked. I don't remember the end of the story, if it worked or didn't work, okay? But that was the approach, but was that you have to look at it, ignore the flour, and look at everything else. Yes?
When we're dealing with salads, there's a whole meeting whether...
We care about whether it's. I would have guessed Tom, but you tell me.
Applying salik, so there's a nidoin. I don't remember how it plays out.
It's your lucky effort,
I don't know, but
that's okay, so it's not going to be
salik applies, side whether we're dealing with time and side whether we're dealing with shame. So I just don't remember how that plays out.
As far as I know. Okay. Let's move to a different angle of the same question. Okay? And that is like this. I told you first, I'm talking about barley, malted barley, which is for sure. Which is chametz. Okay. Now I'm going to talk to you about things that are not chametz. Okay, with that idea that maybe it's not davar sheyesh hametirin and doesn't make sense anymore. And that is like this: if you wanted to make yashan flour or yashan barley, the logic that we would all think to do, which is what they used to do, was you take the, let's say your barley, You take the harvest the barley, you process it. Process is a thing called pearling, which is you scrape off the outer layers. Okay, so what you have in your house is called pearled barley, or it's all, it means they scraped off the outer layers that are not edible. You do that, and then you hold on to it. And then you say, now I'm going to keep this to last until next Pesach. Okay, I do all the work I need to do so that it'll be ready till next Pesach. Or my flour, I take the wheat, I mill it into flour, and then I put it away, and I save it for next Pesach. The problem was, when that's how they used to do it. The problem was, when they did that, was that by the time the middle of the winter would come, they would start getting bugs in their flour, or bugs in the barley. Now, it depended how you didn't always get that. It depended on how you store it. If you store it in refrigerated storage, like they used to do here, North Shore Bakery used to do, they used to take stuff and put away truckloads of stuff into refrigerated storage, then you won't grow any bugs and you'll be fine. And it could last forever. Okay? But it's expensive to put in the refrigerated storage. So what they would do is they would take the flour, mill it, do what they have to do with it, and just put it away. And if it sits for long enough, it'll get buggy. And the reason why is because the companies who make these products take tremendous steps to get rid of all the bugs, and even the bug eggs, and they're very, very successful. But very successful means, like, you know, 99.999, you know, how many nines they can get it off, okay? But they can't get everything, okay? Try as they might, they can't get everything. So it's good enough to last for a couple of months. Give it a while, eventually, you know, you have many, many dozens of bugs that are growing inside of your flour. Eventually it comes to the point that people start noticing it, okay? You know, you only have to have one egg, and in a few days you have a zillion friends, you know? So it wasn't such a workable solution for companies. In particular, when bigger companies started getting involved in this, they said, quality-wise, they won't sell that product. They said, we can't hold stuff for 4 or 5 months and then start selling that as yashim. So, yeah?
Most of the wheat on the market is winter wheat.
Do you want to know if most market, if you go to the supermarket?
The wheat that you're describing, the majority of it is...
It depends. It depends if the guy's processing winter wheat or spring wheat. It depends what he's doing. If it's a plant that processes winter wheat, then it's always yashan. If his plant is spring wheat, then there's a changeover. At a certain point, it's mainly yashan, and eventually becomes mainly chadash. There's a point when it switches over. When the new crop comes in, now it's chadash. There's a little, you know, time that things transfer over. But okay, so they decided was...
Sorry, what is wheat? In which season does wheat normally grow?
Wheat gets the two crops of wheat. There's two main crops of wheat, winter and spring. Winter wheat was already planted now. It grows a little bit, stays dormant for the winter. It gets harvested after Pesach. Like Shavuos time, it gets harvested. That's always Yashar. Spring wheat gets planted right around Pesach time. It gets harvested later in the summer, and then it, until the next year.
One field brings two harvests?
No, different areas. Different things. Different people grow. Either you grow winter or spring wheat. Okay, so the issue with milling it or pearling it as you need it is the following. You took your winter, you took your grain that was yashan, okay, your barley that was yashan, you put it away. And you said, when we need it, we're going to mill it when we need it so that it won't like growing bugs in it. Okay, so today, right now it's where are we at? January. It's January. He's like, let's go mill some of the flour. Well, the flour mill's been running chadash for months already. You put your stuff out of the way. You put yours on the side, and you said, when it comes the right time, I'm going to mill it. When I'm ready to do it, when I'm ready to sell it, I'm going to mill it. Well, they've been processing chadash until now. And what happens is, you want to guess how often flour mills clean their factories?
Never.
Approximately never. Okay? I don't mean that they never wipe things out, but do they never clean it after you get every speck of flour? There's no reason to. Barley? They may flush some out, they may blow it out, but they're not going to get every single one. Now, if barley is a davar sheyesh matirin, I only have to have one kernel of chadash barley in there to mess up my whole batch. I mean, you say to people, did we get every kernel out? Of course we didn't get everyone out. Okay? If the machine holds 50,000 kernels, there might be 100 left in there. Right? That's clean. Because barley is barley. What's the difference? So, if it is a davar sheyesh matirin, they're not even, basically, it's not even chametz yet. It's just grains, just pieces of barley. They're not chadash. No wood ever touched it. So now, it's a davar sheyesh matirin. How am I going to pearl the barley at this time of the year when the company's been running chadash for a long time already? There's loads of chadash in the machinery. So what am I going to do to make it that I could possibly do it later in the season? And this became an important question because, again, they used to do it early. They would do that in June. They would do all the stuff in June. But guess what? From June until Pesach, the stuff is going to spoil. It's going to get buggy. So,
a practical question.
Yeah.
If it stays in its kernel, so it doesn't get buggy.
Right.
And all or gets buggy, and they go it up, grind it up, and so it doesn't get buggy.
No, it stays for a zillion years. No, farmers like to store it in the grain form. That doesn't get buggy. If they take care of it, it won't get buggy for a million years. Once they make it into flour, then it's gone. So it only has a shelf life of however many weeks or months or whatever it is before it starts to get buggy.
That means, is that also true for a bag of flour?
Mm-hmm.
If I have a bag of flour in my house, at a certain point, I'll open it up and find bugs.
Right. If you have a bag of flour in your house, it says on it, it's good until a certain time, and that's not because it's going to spoil per se. It's because it's going to turn buggy. Now, if you stick it in your fridge, then you're okay. The bugs will stay dormant until they're ready. The eggs will stay dormant until they find good environment to hatch in. But if you keep them in the fridge, you'll be fine. But if you don't, if you keep a bag of barley in your pantry for 6 months, it'll have bugs.
Where do bugs come from?
The bugs are coming because there are bug eggs all over the place. And they can't clean them out. They can do a great job, but in the end there's going to be some left in there. And you can't get them out.
And it's smaller than the grains of... I'm just trying to understand this, sorry.
Yeah. Small, really small. So...
Are these microscopic or do you see them?
The eggs are microscopic. The eggs are tiny. The what?
I'm
not worried about eating them. I'm not worried about the egg. I'm worried about when they turn into bugs. That's when you're not eating them.
What? He's just saying the mice are eating eggs all the time. And there's nothing we can do.
That's why.
It's good protein.
Cool. Whatever it is, don't worry about it. Okay, so now. So the Gemara says, about worms and fish. One of them worms says this. He says, Ma, don't, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but Ma, don't tell me when you find worms. I don't want to know about it. Because if I know it, I won't want to eat it. Don't show it to me. Just feed me the fish. Don't tell me. I know that they're probably in there. Don't tell me, or else I won't want to eat them. Okay. What?
The salmon.
Yeah.
Rabbi Willig recently gave us the shear on the decals to lung, so we don't have to say about the bugs.
Okay. So like this. So the question was, so is there a way to overcome this problem? Is there a way to solve this problem? Okay. Is there anything we could do? We have a double shear material. We can't pull the barley. Now, we can't do it 6 months ago, and we can't do that. So what are we supposed to do? So, they asked this question. The OU was grappling with this question. Okay, and for whatever reason, they brought this question to Rabbi Yashav to ask him what he thought about it. Okay, and he said, run through the machinery 500 pounds of barley or flour or whatever it was. I'm not sure who got up that number, but 500 pounds of product. That you run Yashan through as a flush. Sell that as not Yashan. Again, so it's like a flush with using Yashan produce, and then you don't sell that as Yashan, and then you'll afterwards you could run the regular Yashan that you have, and it'll be fine. Okay. Now he said 500. The OU decided to do more than that. 500 seemed too little to them. They did a more significant amount. They run a certain amount through. That's like a flush, and then afterwards they run the regular subjectives. Okay. So what was the thinking? Okay. What would be the logic for such a idea? Why would we think that if we run a bunch of bags through to clean out the machinery, that now we should be, are we sure that we got everything out? What's the thinking now to say that at this point you should be able to use it? Anybody want to give a thought?
Isn't it a suffix? I'm saying to begin with, at the end of
it. So what's the din of a suffix? You tell me. Right. That's how we're doing it halakha. What's the suffix?
A suffix is something with a suffix with the
Okay, so I'm going to say that. That's a possibility.
So it's going away.
Well, below only gets away the bulk of the items. You are not going to get every single grain out of there. Well, the thought is that maybe the flush does an even better job. It's not like there's a grain that's been there for 14 years, right? I mean, with that, each one gets pushed out by the next one. So you figure, so maybe, who knows? Yeah?
The Ramah says it has to be nigar when they got mixed in. In this case, it's not. In this case, I know Kluv is there anymore, so it's if or not Nikar, and therefore it's not a Patricia.
Yes.
So you're not sure. Yesterday,
before I did my flush, was there Chadash in the machine? Was there Chadash in the machine yesterday?
Before you flushed.
Yes, and now some of that's left over, and it's potentially in my food.
Why do we assume that something's not necessarily left over?
Well, the machinery, it always is something left over.
I don't see why it's not Nikar. Why is it not Nikar?
It doesn't mean Nikar that you can see it.
It's something in the character, you just got to see something over when they're on silly. It doesn't mean not Nikar. Not Nikar means that at a moment or a moment, you can point to it and say this is the
Okay, so, now, my first, one thought I had was, this is a, this is a certain type of response is, what's the reason why, if we have time, I suspect we won't, but if we have time, we're going to talk more about this, but what's the reason why Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin is Osur?
Okay.
So Rashi says is, well, the simple answer like Rashi that is, that why would I eat it now B'Issa if I could eat it B'Heter? So it's a certain feeling of, why are you doing this thing that relies on coolers and bitfil and things like that when you could do it without that? Well, maybe the answer is that if you tell me that there's no way for me to make flour, I can't have flour from January till Pesach. Okay, every year I won't be able to have flour and butter from January to Pesach. You're not giving me an option. So I could eat this big of flour after Pesach. That's true, but you're not saying that. You're saying to me you can't eat any flour from January.
You're making a factory.
Build a new factory. So it's not a simple. Hey, just no problem. Eat it tomorrow.
You can't say that's
this is like the Aruch HaShulchan.
That what?
The Aruch HaShulchan we saw last year says that when it comes to Yom Tov, for example, the halacha doesn't dictate your menu. You're going to make a menu that requires something to be cooked on Yom Tov. You like that recipe, so it's okay. Make that recipe. The fact that you could make a different recipe that's actually rolled
on the shulchan. Right. So now, in the case of this, when we have an egg that was known to be on this, we don't say I want to eat eggs today. You say too bad, eat it tomorrow. But that's because you're giving me, so to speak, reasonable options. Over here, you're saying to me, basically, don't eat anything with flour or barley for the next 3 months. Maybe that's unreasonable. Maybe that's a point that he says, do what you can. So the flush is not a way of saying, I for sure got rid of it. It's like, you have to do a reasonable something, do something, flush it out, okay? But then, at that point, it's like, what can I do? How much? Darvish Shesh Matir only requires me to do so much, okay? That's a possibility.
Why isn't flushing it considered chutzos?
That the flushing itself is chutzos. Well, wait. So,
I can't sell it to people who will make you gashan.
Okay, that's not right. I don't think that they consider that as a meaningful loss. That the difference between myself for this and for this, that's part of the price of selling other flowers. You lose a few bigs, you don't lose them. You sell those bigs as yashan. I don't know if that's as chadash. Now, maybe the thought is another possibility is maybe he's thinking. Maybe it's a sex fake. The first time I flushed it out, the first time I flushed it through, probably it was bottled. Okay, I don't know if there's anything left. Actually, the words we have quoted, Rabbi Asher said, was who even says there's any chadash left in here after the machinery? Okay, so it's a suffix if it was the first time. And now the second time when I run it through, again every bit I'm going to have a suffix. Is there any chadash in this one or not? Okay, I only make a chunk with my one little cutie big. You know, my big, is there a chadash grain in there or not? I don't know if there's a chadash grain in here. So it's not a suffix, it's a svekzeka. I don't know if there were any in the whole machine altogether. Maybe I flushed it out well. And even if there were, maybe they didn't make it till my big. Okay, now, there's a question on that. What?
It's why? Is there a chadash in my bag? That's the question.
Okay, so no, the question is, when I first flushed it through, it could be there's no the factory is going to be clean out. There's nothing to be worried about. There's no terrible here at all. Then the second part is, now I flushed them through, even if there was one left in the machinery, okay, that can only get into some bags. Now, I don't know if, so we have a problem. We have a taruvas of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin mixed into my food, but not for me. My bag maybe doesn't have anything at all in it. I maybe added to it. What? Maybe. So now that's going to answer what I'm about to ask you. If you say it that way, you'll answer like. But I'm going to ask you like this. The Rama says in Simon, you didn't see it, in Simon Kuf Yud, he says there are two opinions as to whether you're samech on svek sveka by Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Okay. So now the Rama says there's two opinions as to whether you should be samech on svek sveka by Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. He says then you should only be make a litzarech. That's his word. You should do litzarech. You could be mekel. So maybe the answer to it's a sveksveka, and the Rama says to be machmir, but there's a tzarech. Okay, forget it. My first answer was like, oh my gosh, we're going to starve. The second answer is qual et litzarech. Yeah, it's litzarech. Okay, so maybe it could be sveksveka on a sveksveka when it's litzarech. Litzarech that people should have food for 3 months. That's litzarech. Okay, that could be, but there's really more to it, which is there's a question. I just told you the Rama says in Simon Kuf Yud that if there's a sveksveka on Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, two opinions whether you should be machmir. Well, how could the Rama say that you should possibly be machmir when you know we're talking about chadash? The Rama's well-known, the Rama says in a later sermon, is it Reish Tzadi Gimel? When he's talking about the dinim of chadash, he says, you know why people are not machmir on yashan nowadays? You know why where I live they're not machmir? It's because there's a svek sveka. Safek, if this is from this year's grain, and even if it's from this year's grain, maybe this year's grain grew, was planted before Pesach. So really? Wait a second. Davish is over there. So why we make on a svek zeker? So svek over there we think svek zeker to match all of chadash. So surely svek zeker to let this. So that's not my question. I mean, it would be your question also, but it's the Shach's question. Yeah, the Shach is that question. He says, what happened over here? And the Shach answers that there's two types of svek zeker relevant to this. One svek zeker is a teruvah style svek zeker. I have one mixture, and then I have another mixture. In that kind of a case, when I have that kind of a svek zeker, that's when the Rambam wants to be machmir to say svek zeker even by the Rishon Materian's also. When does a svek zeker that says maybe there was no issur here at all, like maybe this grain is from last year, or even if it's from this year, maybe it was planted before Pesach, I mean, there was no chadash here in the first place, then we'd be samach on a svek zeker of a Rishon Materian. Now, how to judge this case is, I don't know how you want to hear this case. In our case, there was definitely Isser here. But, so it's sort of a Taruva style. We mevatel a little bit, then mevatel it again. But on the other hand, it's a sort of a suffix if it's here at all. I'm thinking about my bag. Is there stuff in my bag or there's not stuff in my bag? Okay, I'm not sure how you judge, read it that way. Okay, one last thing to tell you, because we're much to go. One more thing is, at the OU, Rabbi Belsky had his own idea why it should be mutter. Okay, I'll tell you what he said. It all works right, but it's going to leave us hanging with a question. He said is, the reason why it's mutter is because it's from something that I'm assuming you saw in Siman Tzadi days. He says, it's trei mashu. He says, the reason why it's mutter is because when I do the first flush, the amount of issa that was left, that's in the first flush, means, think about this, 10 grains left in the machine, and there's 10,000 grains flushed through it. So that's a mixture now of these 10 grains and 10,000 grains. What's left behind in the machine is just a mashu. We're just thinking about the 10 more grains left behind afterwards. That's a teruvah of 10,010 grains. That's one mashu. You say it's usher because it's davishesh matirin. Now, one of those grains falls into my big batch. That's trei mashu. Okay, now, I don't know if you learn Tzadi days, there's a big to-do about what it means, trei mashu. Okay, so the Shach over there, the way he understands, the way most people understand, like the Shach, is this would qualify for trei mashu. Right? So this would be good. We'd say it would be mutter because it was trei mashu lo yaminu. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, essentially. In Tzadi Beis. That what? I have to think about that. I think about how that fits with this bit of trei mashu. I'm not sure. Okay. The question is, I'm not going to get into this. I'm just going to tell you it's going to leave us with a question. Because if it's true that this qualifies as trei mashu, which the number, everything matches up, it should be, we're back to understand. The Shach said that we're only machmir about svek seka by Devar Shesh Matir when it's a taruvus type of svek seka. A taruvus type of svek seka seemingly is automatically the trei mashu case. So here, trei mashu is a reason to be makel. To a svek zeker, which is a teruvah style, is a trei mashu. So I'm missing something here in our cheshbon over here. Okay, let me get out of chadash. Okay, change of topic. Okay, there's, I'm going to tell you an interesting din about Shemitah. Okay, this din is not a lachal ma'aseh now for another few years, but and that is like this. There's a din on Shemitah called bir, which means to say is, when you have produce of Shemitah, you have to eat it by a certain time. If you didn't eat it by that time, you can eat it afterwards, but you have to do a mitzvah called beer. Essentially, in short, you have to make it hefker, make it available to everybody, and then people can eat it. Okay? For purposes of this example, the time of beer for dates is on Purim, and beer for grapes is on Pesach. Okay? Those are in Pesach. Dates on Purim, grapes on Pesach. What happens if I have dates mixed into grapes? Okay, one gives time into the other one. Whose time of beer do I follow? The dates, I have to do the mitzvah by Purim, and the grapes I have till Pesach. Whose mitzvah of beer do I follow when one gave time into the other one? So the thing is, each one is by itself. Ignore the fact that one is giving time to the other one. You don't say, oh, the dates gave time to the grapes, and therefore you have to make beer earlier. No, you make beer for each one for itself. Okay. What happens if... They cook things together. Okay. What happens if the Shemitah produce gave time into not Shemitah produce? Okay. You cook dates from Shemitah with dates that were not from Shemitah. Then the din is, the non-Shemitah produce needs to follow the din of the beer of the Shemitah produce. It's Isser at the Heter. If you follow the Zman of the Shemitah produce. So now comes out the following. If that happened, min deminoi, if it was dates into dates, then we say that the dates going into the dates is a min deminoi, a davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's a davar sheyesh lo matirin because you could eat these dates before Purim. If not, tachlana beheter, wait till after Yontav, it's tachlana beheter before Purim comes. As long as you eat it before Purim, you're covered. You ate it beheter, you're okay. Then, if it's min demino, we say, so it's not both, no matter what. So if there's one date in 1,000 dates, they have to all be eaten before Purim, as a form of davar sheyesh lo matirin. It's a thing that only, there's a way to eat it beheter. You have to eat it beheter, and we don't say it's batel, the tam is batel. No. The tam theoretically is batel, there's 1,000 to 1, but we say you have to eat it all before Purim. Had the dates been mixed into potato chips, give time to something else that's min b'she'en aminoi, then all of a sudden the rules of, then davar sheyesh lo matirin makes no difference, and then we say it's batel. We say, oh, the tam is batel. So then all of a sudden the potato chips do not have to be eaten before Purim. Okay, so here's an unusual davar sheyesh lo matirin where it's not a eat it tomorrow, it's that I have a way to eat it beheter by eating it quickly. Okay, if I eat it the right way, I heat it up before Purim, so you could stuff your face with all these dates before Purim, then you're okay. Okay. Yes?
Shouldn't that be totally on whether or not we do chametz as davar sheyesh lo matirin?
What's the connection?
Because during the year, the only reason why one of the reasons why it should not be considered davar sheyesh lo matirin is because next year it's going to become...
If we have time, I'm going to talk about that. Okay. Again. Yes.
So that should be analogous.
Why is it that?
Because next year it's going to become usher later on.
You know, when it becomes usher, it's usher for good. Once we cross the line to Purim, it's gone. It's hopeless. But I can eat it quickly. Here, I have a way to eat it beheter by quickly eating it, not by slowly eating or by waiting. I can eat it beheter today. If I rush up before Purim, I can eat it up.
Why isn't this a bit like the egg that's a satek trefa, where if it's mutter, so good, it's mutter now. And if it's usher, so then it's butzel, right? So this, either, it is mutter now, and when it becomes usher, it's going to be usher forever. And so if it's in a mixture where it's, you know, it truly should be batel against whatever's in there, so why don't we say it's like a regular usher that fell into be usher forever, and then you can eat it?
It's not, today it's heter, but it has a rule, it has a restriction on it, which is you have to eat it before Purim. So this has to be eaten before Purim, and that the potato, the other dates that fell into didn't have to be eaten before Purim.
But is there... Let's say Purim passes, right, and realize...
If once Purim passes, if you pass the time of beer, if this time should happen after the time of beer, then you're right. We wouldn't say it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. But today it's before Purim passed, and now I have what fell in was a davar sheyesh lo matirin now. Okay, so I don't know I don't remember what it is. What happens if it happened before Purim, and then now it's after Purim? I don't know. But when I'm standing still before Purim, I say, today I can eat a beheter. I have a way to eat a beheter. The way is to eat it quickly. So I have a way to eat a beheter. I have to do that. I'm not allowed to say, well, I want to take my time. I want to eat it later. No, don't eat it tomorrow, but Esther, eat it today, beheter. So, okay.
You're saying there would be a chiyuv to eat it?
Right. Well,
maybe what's the nature of the question?
There's a response. You can't say, I'll wait, I'm not eating this. I'm just, or I should say, you can't, when it comes Purim, if you haven't eaten it yet, you'll have to make it hefker. Because it had the rules of beer on it. This food got the rules of beer on it that you have.
That's not for me. I mean, you can't say.
Yeah, you don't have to eat. I keep saying you have to eat. You don't have to eat. You could just make it hefker then. But it has the rules of beer. This has it has the dinim of kedusha shviyas to it. You have to treat it like it's shemitah produce because it is. It has a blear for shemitah produce. It was bottled 1,000 times. Yeah, it was bottled 1,000 times. But you have a right to be sonach on bittul. You can't rely that it was bottled. You have to eat it beheter. You have a way to eat it without running into those issues. Okay. I'm skipping because I'm assuming that you saw that Chazusa?
Yeah.
Okay? In the Ramah? Okay. Okay. I'll tell you one second. Okay? The Ramah says that if the food that was davar sheyesh lo matirin was gave color, it was malabing the other food, then it's not batel. Okay? There's three major and one lamaisa opinions as to what you should do with Chazusa. So some read the Ramah to say is that chazus is only not batel when it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. That's the only time that it's not batel. Some say something with chazus is not batel, but it doesn't make a difference. It's always not batel. Okay. Some say Chazus is only not potter when it's Asur Midaraisa and Asur Bahanra. You need to have two things in order to make it Asur. Okay? And most people follow what the Pre-Chodesh says as the Hachra. I don't believe he says it as a din, he says it as a Hachra, which is, when talking about a Shaila of an Issa Deraisa, then we say Chazus is not potter. We're talking about a Shaila of an Issa Derabana, then we say it is potter. Okay, what's an example of that, just for your just curiosity? Example that is, of Asur Midaraisa, is there's a coloring made for red, oranges, and purples called carmine. Okay, that coloring is made by crushing up bugs, and they just grind them up, and it makes these really great colors. And what?
Britain, they used to have a chocolate called Smarties, they still do, and the red is known as having
carmine, okay.
And all the kids used to take out the reds.
Really?
Got it. Eat the rest.
Okay, so you may have heard of it. You may have heard of it a couple of years ago. Starbucks very proudly announced that they now have natural colors for their one of their drinks. The orange, it is an orange drink. There's natural colors, and when people found out how natural it was, they said, "Hey, we'll take the not natural." But they actually know. They said, "Okay, they came up with they changed to a carrot that was something else that gave natural color." Okay, but that's it's a really great color. But that's a shadow. That's an issur d'oraisa. That's just crushed up bugs. So there we would say chazus is not potter. If it happened, we would say the food is asur. Okay? And d'rabanan is there's a color called ino. It has a really long name, but everybody calls it for short ino, which is made from grape skins. Okay, that's asur d'rabanan. Grapes are only stam yain is only issur d'rabanan. So if that was potter into a food by mistake, then most people would follow what Pri Chodesh says that we would say we don't worry about chazus by issur d'rabanan. Okay. Well, that's a question. It's nicker, not in its taste. That's a question whether chazus is or is not bottle. Is that significant enough to say it can't be bottle because it's noticeable?
So yes.
That's not a question of chazus. That doesn't. It's true that the casks, the barrels do give color. They help. The aging gives color to it. But I don't think that people think it's from the wine of it. It's the barrel per se. Not if you put it into a new barrel, it looks like it's, you know, when you buy bourbon that's made in a new barrel, that also has color to it. That's just from the wood. I might be wrong. That's my understanding. Okay, let's move on to something else. What I'm going to tell you now, you'll see as we come around to it, a proof to what this question from what it says in Halacha Gimel. And that is like this. I'm going to talk about two different questions that are the same issue, relatively the same issue. Okay? You may have heard this. It has to do with bugs. You may have heard that many years ago, the Star K, Rabbi Heinemann, used to have the following opinion. Okay? I say he used to because I don't think that the Star K, this is an official position anymore. I know Rabbi Heinemann used to hold that. He may still hold like that. I don't want to blame it on the Hashgacha because I don't know if they officially follow this opinion anymore. And he would say is, if a person has frozen broccoli, or in some variations even fresh broccoli, you could eat it. You could just eat it. You don't have to worry about the bugs that are in there. Why are you allowed to eat it? Well, you think there are bugs inside there. Why am I allowed to eat it? So there was a three-part logic to why you're allowed to eat it. Okay. We're going to focus on the first part, but it's a three-part logic. And the first is like this. In a floret, like a broccoli floret, the floret is so packed tightly that the bugs that are in there are hopelessly lost. You're never going to be able to find the bugs that are in there. It's way too difficult to find them packed into that. And particularly, the version that had it only with frozen, particularly for frozen broccoli, I mean, there's no way. I mean, you're never going to find what's inside there, bugs that are hiding in there. So, that makes it taruvus. So, part one is, it's a taruvus. It's a taruvus of a bug in the vegetable. The second is, that taruvus, the bugs that are in there are obviously batel b'shishim. Right, there's not so many bugs in there that it wouldn't be batel b'shishim. Yeah, the bugs would be batel b'shishim. But the reason why it would not be batel is because it's a barrier. Okay, you have whole bugs in there, and the bugs are barriers. Okay, assuming that the bugs are barriers, they would not be batel. Well, that's only the rabbanan din. Midaraisa barriers batel. So midaraisa, this would be a taruvus. Part one was that it was a taruvus. Part two is the iser, the worst iser on this taruvus is the rabbanan. It's only the rabbanan that we're worried about. Maybe there's no pitel. Midaraisa, it would be batel. So now part three is, it's only on every head of broccoli there's a suffix whether there's a bug in here or there's not a bug. Okay, I don't know if there's one in every one. Statistically, I have no way of knowing if there is or there isn't. So it's a suffix. So since it's a taruvus, which is not more than issur d'rabbanan, I have a suffix d'rabbanan. Well, what's the name of a suffix d'rabbanan? Suffix d'rabbanan is a kula. Right, so I say maybe there's an issur d'rabbanan here. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. Okay, so I'm allowed to eat it. Okay, so I'm going to go. Okay, that was the three-part steps here. First is the taruvus. Second is the taruvus can't be worth an issa d'rabbanan. Third is, and since it's only a sophic, therefore it should be mutar. Okay, now, there are questions on the second and the third point. We're going to focus on the first part. Is this thing a taruvus? Is what we're looking at a bug in a floret? Is that a taruvus or is not a taruvus? Okay, and what seemingly what it depends on is the following. There's going to be a din you'll see when you get to Simin Kuf Dalad, which is that if you have Isser and a Heter mixed together, but it's Efsher to get out the Isser out of the mixture, then you can't rely on the rules of Bittel. Okay? The example there is, if you have, you cook some chicken felt into soup, if you, as it is now, it's all mixed, you pull a piece of chicken out, but this chicken fat has spread through the soup. Okay? If you, as it is now, there's no way to get it out. How are you going to find the chicken fat in there? Well, but if you put it in the fridge and you let it cool off, the chicken fat will congeal and you'll be able to skim it off. So we say is, you can't say it's a taruvus. Don't say the chicken fat is buffled into the thing. It's mixed in and the follow the rules of it. You say, no, I can get it out. I can filter it out. Okay? That din, that if you can get it out, you're not allowed to rely on bittul. Is that a din deraisa or is that a din derabanan? Machlokas. Very good. It is a machlokas. Is it a din deraisa? What would be the what do I mean when I say deraisa derabanan? When I say it's a din deraisa, it would mean is to say it's not a taruvus. It's like if I have three packages of food, and two of them are kosher, and one is treif. I don't say, it's the barayif, it's mutter. If you think it's not bat the barayif, because I know which is the kosher, I know which is the treif. If you only, the rules, it's called hilchas taruvus for a reason. You only follow these rules if you have a taruvus, you have isser and heter mixed together. But if they're not mixed together, well, why are you saying following rules a bittul? Just take the isser on the side and put the heter on the side. So one argument is that if I can separate the isser from the heter, then I don't have a taruvus. So I didn't get to that page in Shulchan Aruch. The heading said Hilchos Taruvus. Well, don't open these pages yet until you make it into a taruvus, not a taruvus. Okay. And the other side is that the Rabbanan says that basically you can't separate them. Okay. If you basically these two things are mixed together, you can't get them separated from one another. If they're not separated from one another, it's a taruvus, and the rules are a taruvus. There's rules of bittul, b'shishim, or whatever the rules are. So if there's midrabanan, the rabbanan said, no, don't be so kal, don't take it like that. You have to separate the isser out, and then you can eat the food. Okay, so that's a question, a big question in the achronim, whether this din of efshel asaninoi is a din deraisa or din drabanan. Okay, what's an afkamina? Why do I care if it's a deraisa or drabanan? Kilkul. Okay, that's a variation of what I was about to say, which is, what happens if it's really hard to separate them from one another? Okay. Well, I was going to say, if it's very hard, you're saying, well, I'm going to lose something by separating them. Okay, so then, if it's a din deraisa, we say, well, you're not going to eat the food, because there's isser here. If you want to get the isser out, then you can eat it. We don't have rules of bittul yet, because there's isser in here. Get the isser out before you start eating. It's going to cost you money, you're going to lose some, so too bad on you. I mean, that's just life. There's isser in here, you can't eat it. Okay? If it's a din derabanan, then the din derabanan only requires you to go so far. At a certain point, you say, that much they weren't machayev you to do. So if it's going to cost you a loss, or it's going to be very difficult to do it, then at some point we're going to cross the line and we're going to say, at this point, Chacham didn't require you to do that. Okay? So, the Badi Yishlochan says, he thinks that's totally, that's the basis of the machlokes between the Rashba and the Raha. Okay? The Rashba and the Raha, who talk about whether you have to kasher kalim in order to get the Isser out, it depends on that machlokes. Because if the Rashba's, they both agree that it's considered an expense, a hassle, to have to kasher kalim. Okay, the Rashba says, you don't have to kasher kalim. That much, Chum don't require you to go to that to such lengths to get the isser out of the food. Just eat it the way it is. You could get it out. You could, but that much you don't have to go. Because he's looking at the getting isser out as a din derabanan. Okay, he's looking at that as a rabbinic requirement. The Chum didn't require you to go that far. Now, the Shachan Taz say, no, they did require you to go that far. But that's a side argument. But they agree with what the Rashba says, which is, you only have to go so far. And kashering is considered too much. You don't have to do that much. And the Ra'ah says, he says, I don't understand. There's isser in here, I can get it out. If I have to get it out, I don't care what it takes to get it out. Okay, there's a Maril who talks like that. He says, I don't care what it takes to get it out. Whatever it takes, I don't care. Get it out, you have to get it out. Meaning, because he's looking at it as a derisive din. If it's not a tarumas, if you in any way in the world can get it out, then you have to get it out. Okay, so now, if that would be correct, that's the machlokes, that this shayla and achronim is really machlokes the Ra'ah and the Rashba, well, what's the din about that? Okay, it's in halacha gimel right here, we pass on to Rashba. Again, the Shach and Taz argue on the detail of whether working hard, whether kashrut is considered too much or not too much. Okay? That's sort of like a detail to the point. The point is, we overall seem to pass like the Rashba, that the din is, that depends, that if it's too hard, you don't have to do it. So that then that should tell me that that should support what Rabbi Hinderman said. Okay? That supports his point, which is, if food are mixed together, and it's possible to get that, you could get the Isser out of there, but it would be ridiculously difficult to get the Isser out of there, then he's arguing that that's Midrash, that's a Taruvus, Midrabanan, it's not, and therefore he follows on with what he has to say. Okay, now, I'm only telling you this one part of that argument. There are other reasons to possibly disagree with him, but this part that has to do with our din, that's why I mentioned it. Yes?
I was wondering,
I saw about the Shulchan says, I don't remember if there are others who connected. Yeah, he connects the two of them. He said that they're connected to each other. Okay, now, another example of that same question was, you may remember a year or two ago, maybe it's even longer by now, people were talking about bugs in orange juice. Okay? You're not familiar? Okay. Well, so what it is just in short, on the skin of oranges live these little bugs called scale insects. Okay? You don't see them so commonly in the United States because the oranges that they sell for the public, they spray them and they make sure there are no scale insects on them. But the oranges that they sell in other countries where people don't care so much about how things look, and the oranges that they use to make orange juice, where no one's going to see the peel anyhow, they have loads of scale on them. Okay, they have lots of these things living on the outside of the oranges. Okay, now we're not here to discuss whether it's really mutter usser, because whether those things are really us or not, you could ask Rabbi Willig, or you could ask me afterwards. That's not relevant to whether those bugs are really us or not. Okay, they're really small. Okay, small is really an understatement to describe what they are. Okay, but whether they're us or not is not the point that I'm trying to focus on now. Let's say the bugs are usher. Okay, that would be a really big let's say. But let's say the bugs would be usher. Okay, now the bugs are in my orange juice. When they squeeze them out, they get into the juice. Okay, so now they're in my juice. Okay, in order to get the bugs out of my juice, I have a cup of orange juice now, and in there there's a bug floating around. Is that a teruvus or is it not a teruvus? What did you say? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about is, am I required to go to the lengths? I'm out of Dervish, I'm just use this as a riot to that. Am I required to go? In order to get it out, I watch people get it. Now, they tell me there are newer, fancier ways to get it out, but I watch guys get it out. They put it through a cloth that had such fine holes in it that the oranges couldn't get through. Okay? When you think of oranges, they get it porous through things. Well, this was so fine that it had to like drip really slowly through it. And then afterwards, they had to then pick through between all the mush that was left on top, all the particles they left on top, and pick through to find the bugs that they were in there. Okay, if you have bionic eyes, you could find the bugs that are on top there, and they pull them out. So that was such an amazing amount of effort and expertise to do it that if it's a dinder abundant to have to get if this is only midrash abundant, not teruvus, you don't have to go that far. Okay, there were even people who said even if it's a deraisa, you don't have to go that far. Okay, there's a limit even to deraisa how far you have to go. Yes. What I'm saying may not be purely accurate from the din side of it, not from the Matzias. On the Matzias side of it, there was like at least a bug every cup. So there were bugs in there. Whether that makes sense in din, I'm pretending that it does. I'm not sure that it does. But there are lots of bugs in there. Okay? Lots of those things in there. Whether those things are, I mean, there are other bugs. Whether they're also bugs. Not every bug is also, you know. Okay. So it's the same question, which was, if it's a din d'rabbanan, I'm for sure not required to go to such lengths to separate the taruvas and say, I can avoid the taruvas by doing X, Y, and Z. If it's a din d'raisa, even then there were those who argued, even if it's a d'raisa, you don't have to go to such lengths. Okay? But when it's a d'raisa, it's a different story. All of a sudden, having to work hard may not be an excuse to not have to do it. Yes?
So, if you have some time, this is obvious. According to, if you took the Machmir approach on this, then you could never, Bismanazir, really employ Vittel, because you could send every food item to a laboratory that would put it in a center.
It's a really good question. I'll tell you a variation of the question. A variation of the question, and that was, Shlomo Miller, he said like this. He said this. He was looking at a variation, not exactly the question, but a variation. He said like this. He said, if it's true, that no matter if I can get it out somehow, then it's not faulty. He says, what's the din that Beria loy b'teila? What's the example where a Beria is not going to be faulty? He says, if it's a Beria, it means it's complete. It's a whole thing. Now, a Beria of a grain that was somewhat worse than the Zara, okay, so you can't tell it one from the next one. Okay, but if there's a bug, Beria of a bug, didn't talk about that. It's not, I don't know if it's a Gemara, but they didn't in Shulchan Aruch about that. So a Beria of a bug means is that if I see it, I could see it's a bug. So what would be the example that it's bottle, except that it's a Beria, therefore it's not bottle? If I came across it, it would be a bug. So what would be the example that it could be theoretically bottle, but only not bottle because of Beria? It means it is a Teruvis, but since it's a Beria, it's not bottle. Doesn't that tell you that there are things that are so hard to find, they're so hopelessly lost, that they're considered Teruvis, even though when you banged into it, you would actually see it, right? He says that you could come up with scenarios of how it could be. There could be camouflage situations where you wouldn't see it, blah, 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 blah. But he says, but essentially, you're making it that din being such an odd, strange case that it's hard to believe. Okay, we therefore that's an argument to support that there's a limit, maybe even on a deraisa level. At a certain point, you say it's so mixed in that it's a terrible. That's why I said even on a deraisa level, it might be good enough. Okay. Next. Do you guys have patience with me still? Okay.
Let me know
what time is Minchah? 3:20. Okay, fine. No problem.
The
Shulchan Aruch and Halacha Gimel talked about whether kashering something is considered to be so difficult or so hard that I don't have to kasher something to get the bleed out of it. Okay, maybe if this is a terubis, meaning I have one trace spoon and there's 50 kosher spoons, I don't know which is which, I could say it is or it's not a davar sheyesh hamatirin, because I could get the isser out, but kashering is at such a difficulty that I'm not required to go to those lengths to eat it better. Okay, that's for kashering. What about if the same question would happen for tefillas kelim? Okay, I have one spoon that I didn't tovel, and I dropped it into 50 other spoons that were tovel, and now there's a way to make it mutter. It's a lot easier than kashering. What are you going to do? Just dunk it in the mikveh. Okay, so that's easy. So do I say that techlanu b'isr, techlanu b'heter? Why be samecham bittel? And say that each spoon that I picked up is probably the mutter spoon, the one that had tefillah scale to it, the head tefillah. Why don't I just say it's going to tie all the spoons? Should I say the same thing? Should I say that just like my hagol, there's a question, and tefillah should be the same thing, and tefillah is a lot easier also. Okay, so I found an interesting disagreement about this. That's like this. In Rosh Hashanah, Orbach says the following. He says, that rule that we say, Acha techlenu b'isr, achola b'heter, only applies if there is a, so to speak, side way to avoid the isr. For example, I have an egg that was noda b'yontif, this is an egg that might have been noda b'yontif, I could eat it tomorrow. Okay, I'm not going to resolve the suffix, but I can eat it tomorrow. I can avoid the isser. I have a treif b'liya. I can avoid the problem of that treif b'liya being floating around in all my food by the kashering and separating and pulling it out of the way. He says, but when I have a question if this kli needs tefillas kelim or not, I don't know if it does or doesn't need it. He says, the resolution you're offering to me is not to find a side way to get to the heter. You're saying is, be machmer. That's what you're telling me. You're saying is, do the tefillah. He says, well, that's not what techlanu b'heter means. Techlanu b'heter doesn't mean is, you could be machmer. Techlanu b'heter means is, you have a side way of skirting the issue, which is, you could wait till tomorrow to eat the egg. You don't have to decide if this is the mutter egg or the usher egg. I will never know which is the mutter egg and which is the usher egg. But I'll eat it tomorrow. So I have a way to eat it as, I have like an outside way of avoiding the isser. That's, I could avoid the shayla, instead of passing the shayla. Over here, you're not telling me avoid the shayla. You're saying to me, be machmer on the shayla. He says, be machmer on the shayla is not my requirement. That's not what it means when we say, you should just avoid the shayla. You should be machmer on the shayla. Yes?
This is analogous to say, for example, I have a spoon, which I take a nether on, it falls once in a bunch of other spoons.
Okay.
So meaning now, spoon, so
Pasha is... So there, I have a way to get out of the issur, a side way, I'd be matir nether. He's saying is, if the only way to do it would say, so don't eat from any of the spoons. You just get a different spoon. He said, that you wouldn't be required to do. If you say to me, don't use any of these spoons, that's not giving me a way out. That's saying it's just be machmir on everything. That I'm not required to. But being matir neder is a way out of the shaila. We don't know which is the spoon that I made the neder on. I don't know which one. But I can get away to the shaila from a sideway. I have a way out of the shaila without addressing the question. So why rely on the letter of the law when you have a way to avoid the whole shaila altogether? Yes?
So
you're saying that's as if addressing the shaila itself. I'm saying I'm addressing the shaila itself by being machmir on the shaila itself. Okay. He sees it as an outside way of doing it. Now he has a riot to it. As a hamar, he says, you know, there's a din. A person has to be machmir shaila. And chalas chutz aretz, hafarshas chalas and chutz aretz has a lot of coolness to it. It's a very weak, it's a mitzvah drabbanan. Okay? It's a very low level mitzvah drabbanan, okay? Whatever we want to call it. Okay? It's a special, a very kal din. And in all kinds of cases, we say, oh, it's only a question of chalas chutz aretz. You could be makel about whatever shayla because it's only chalas chutz aretz. Okay, every page you turn in hilchas chal, that comes up on every page, but it's often enough of it's a shayla chal. He says, you know how much it takes to be mafresh chal and chutz aretz? He says, just one little speck. He says, so why do we always say, why are we ever saying be makel on chal chutz aretz? Yeah, it's a cool, it's a very easy thing, you can be makel on it. He says, take off one speck and say, this is the chal, boom, I did the hafresh. That's easy. Doesn't cost you anything, not hard. Big deal, take one piece. You can take even a mashu, take a little piece, okay, this is the chal, that's it. So why do we ever say you could be makel for chalas chutz aretz? Why don't we say is techlan abisu techlan abheter? Avoid the shaila. I'll be mafresh. I take a little piece and I'll be mafresh a piece. Okay, you see that crumb that's going into the garbage? That's the chala. Done. I'm finished. Why don't we say that? Elamai, because that saying is you have to be machmir on the shaila. That's not saying you have a way to avoid the issur. I don't have a way to avoid the issur. You're saying is too bad on you. You have to be mafresh in you. Now I gave you an easy way out of how to do it, but I didn't give you a way to avoid the issur. I told you just to be machmir on this and that you're not required to do. Okay, that's how we look at it. In contrast, in Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a person who has a glass dish. So glass is only chayav in tefilas kelim midrabanan. Comes from a factory, and he's not sure if the factory was owned by a Jewish person or not. If the factory is owned by a Jewish person and it was in Jewish hands till I got it, then it doesn't need tefilas kelim. If it was owned by someone who's not Jewish, then it does require tefilas kelim. So I don't know whether it was or was not. So Rav Moshe says, if you could figure out. If you could find that, you have to be Mavar. Okay, that's a pretty traditional din, that if you have a Suffolk Drabonim, you say, Efshel Levar, you have to be Mavar. He says, if you can't be Mavar, you can't figure it out whether it's Jewish only. The person who made it was Jewish. He says, then, if there's a big Tircha to Tevel it, then you could be making on the Suffolk Drabonim Lekula. Which at the end of the sentence is, but, he doesn't say this, but if it's not a big Tircha, like in my case of spoons, so go Tevel it, big deal. Don't make it to do about it, and just go Tevel it. Why is he saying that? Why is he saying if it's not a big tircha, you have a suffix, why don't you say suffix drabon lakula? So what is he saying? He's saying is you have a suffix, and the way to avoid the issur is to just dunk it in the mikvah. You don't just say, well, suffix drabon lakula. You know, he's saying along the line, he doesn't use the words, but it's along the lines of Darvish Yeshna Matirin. Why eat it the issur? Why have a spoon in your house that maybe needs to be tivel, a plate, a glass plate? Why keep it in your house that might need to be tivel? Just go tivel it. Avoid the problem, don't have problems. Okay? So that's along the lines of saying that it's a Darvish Yeshna Matirin style. It's not really Darvish Yeshna Matirin. The Darvish Yeshna Matirin style thought, and yet he's saying that even though what he's telling you is to just be machmir. That's what he's telling you. Yes?
So perhaps it's not really steered to the cloud of Darvish Yeshna Matirin, it's steered to the cloud of Sveka Darabana Lakula.
That
what he's saying is that, well, every time you have a Sveka Darabana, it should always be machmir unless it's an annoyance.
Well, usually, when something is usur, that means it's usur, you lost something. Something you can't do it. Something is, it's automatically a difficulty. Here's an issur d'rabbanan that is an easy way out of it. You just dunk in the mikvah.
Rav Moshe, maybe. I'm just saying, if you take Rav Moshe's extension, so then you should say, look, you own today, you have 3 flats of eggs in your house. You have 100 eggs. So you have this egg, the suffix, maybe, so throw it out. Be machmir.
That's automatically. Talk, every time you talk about that kind of a question, it's you're talking about a law. So you throw the egg in the garbage.
Yeah,
so over here, because here it's tefilas kelim. Tefilas kelim means the chumrah doesn't mean lose it. The chumrah just means it goes dunk in the mikvah. Big deal. It's a sort of like a temporary chumrah. If not a chumrah that has any real significance, unless it's really hard. I mean, imagine if it's something difficult, then he says, then you don't have to.
But kind of like what kind of a Hagdara is that?
Well, the Hagdara is that Shavu Darbanon Lehidin. When we say that you could be make on a Darbanon, it's only unless it's easy to avoid the Isser. And avoid the Isser because it's a style of a Davish Yeshua Matirin. Why eat it by Isser?
Logically, then you should say the same thing about one egg. One egg, it costs you 10 cents.
So you're saying if you, it's not a significant amount.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A quench or blush, you would have to be laughing at all those kids.
Okay, but interesting. So you're supportive of what Rosh Hashanah said, which is when the Sadiq Abraham, when the why eat it by Isser means is, therefore, be machmir on the Shiloh, that's not what you have to do. Okay, that's an argument.
It's not really demonstration material.
It's not at all demonstration material. No, it's a style. It's in that style. I'm using that
it's
form.
It's not on the machmir unless it's a big deal.
Right. Now,
okay.
We
can't have that. Okay, but in this case, it's...
Okay. Okay. If we have another few minutes, I'll just talk about chametz a little bit. Okay? Oh. Last thing, talk about chametz.
Oh, man. It's not even based off time. We already talked about chametz.
Well, no, wait. So you learn davshish matirin. It's my chametz is davshish matirin. Okay. So there's a machlokes rishonim whether chametz is davshish matirin. What does that mean? Chametz before Pesach is bottled like everything, like anything else. Regular rules of bittul. So if some chametz falls into food today, it's bottled like regular rules. There's no questions at that point. It's for sure. It's bottled regular rules. Okay. Which is good for most of us because most of the food we eat on Pesach is made long before Pesach. Most of the packaged food we make is made before Pesach. Anytime there's something, a shiloh comes up with those things, it's a regular set of rules. Bittul works like anything else. What happens if chametz is mixed into food on Pesach? It's also b'mashu. Okay, no bittul, even mimish enemino. No bittul at all. That's also an easy question. The shiloh is, excuse me, what about an erev Pesach? An erev Pesach, the chametz is not also b'mashu yet. Doesn't come in also b'mashu until yontif starts. So an erev Pesach, is there such a thing? Do we say chametz is davish yeshua matirin? Why is it davish yeshua matirin? Because I can't, even though it's usher to eat today, but I can eat it tomorrow. Okay, I'll eat it yet the Pesach. It'll be mutter. Okay. Now you're going to ask me, of course, to Ramban about that. About why don't we say it's going to be chametz all of Pesach? We're put that on the side for now. Okay, but it's a machlokes rishonim whether it should be davish yeshua matirin or not. Because today it's usher. Come 9 days from now, it's going to be mutter. When Pesach ends, it's going to be mutter. So the Rambam holds. That is, he says, it's a davishesh matirin. So it's not also b'mashu in the typical sense, but it is a davishesh matirin. Davishesh matirin means min b'mina. It's not bottom. Okay, it's also b'mashu min b'mina. The Mechaber, the Ramah, and many others, which is what we do, follows what the Mordechai says, that it is, it's not because it's davishesh matirin. Okay, now I'm going to talk to you in a second, just what the Mordechai means. Okay, but the Mordechai says it's not davishesh matirin. So, before I get to what the Mordechai says, I just want to tell you two exceptions to that rule. That even though we paskin that chametz before Pesach is not a davish yeshua matirin, there are two places where we were machmir that is a davish yeshua matirin. Okay? And they are when the case I was just talking to you about, when kalim get mixed in with each other. Okay? I pull out a spoon on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, and I can't figure out, is this from the year-round set or is it from the Pesach set? Okay, is this a Pesach spoon or a year-round spoon? Or some things got mixed together. So there, if it's a davish yeshua matirin, then I would say is, you can't use it. Wait till after Pesach to use the spoon. Don't use it on Pesach. Okay, here's not a kashering. I say, wait till after Pesach to use it. And if it's not a davish yeshua matirin, I'd be allowed to use it right away. So there, even though we pass on the chametz, it's not a davish yeshua matirin, when kalim get mixed in, or we don't know which is a kli, we say that it, so to speak, is a davish yeshua matirin, and you cannot use that kli. Okay, even though it happened on Erev Pesach, before Pesach happened, we say that it is, so to speak, a davish yeshua matirin, except there are tzadim lahakol. Okay, there are those, if we throw in some other tzadim, then we'll be making, but as a rule, we're machmir about kalim. The second thing is, that if there's a, spek steak on something, then I've mentioned to you before, the Ramah says we should try to be machmir about svek svek of davish yeshua matirin. Well, and for this purposes, we consider chametz to be a davish yeshua matirin, even though we really don't consider davish yeshua matirin. But in these purposes, svek svek is not going to be mutter, except in the cases where svek svek would be mutter for davish yeshua matirin. The Ramah says l'tzarech it's mutter, so it's not always aser. But if it's not l'tzarech, then we would say davish yeshua svek svek on chametz for Pesach, on chametz on Erev Pesach would be aser. Yes.
Why are we splitting?
Why are we what?
Like why? why are we saying in one sense it is a devastation material?
So I'm going to sort of explain to you in 1 second. Okay, I'm going to explain to you in a second. You'll hear why. When I explain to you the Mordechai, then hopefully this will make sense to you. Okay? So those are the sort of exceptions. Okay? So what was the logic of the Mordechai? What did the Mordechai say? Why is it not a devastation of material? Lamai says it's usher today, and tomorrow's going to be mutter. Come 10 days from now, you're allowed to eat it. Today I can't eat it. 10 days from now, I can't eat it. Okay? So the Mordechai says that chametz is choysim l'isuroi. Even though it's going to be mutter in 10 days from now, when Pesach ends, I'm going to be allowed to eat the chametz. In a year from now, I'm not going to be able to eat it again. And therefore, it's not a regular devastation material. Okay? That's what the Mordechai says. Okay, now, what does that mean exactly? That's what I'm trying to explain to you. What does that mean? It's true that in 10 days from now, it's going to be mutter, and then in a year from now, it's going to be usher. Well, at first glance, it doesn't make sense, because what's the problem? I have a way to eat a beheter, and I have a way to eat a beisser. Every year, there are 8 days that I can't eat it, or 8.5 days I can't eat it, and 300, who knows how many days that I can't eat it. So eat it in the heter way.
Sounds like a rod.
That what?
I mean, in a sense, it's always going to be going through heter, so it doesn't have that.
So, good. So the Aruch Shulchan says, one shot you could say is as the way the Ron says. The Ron says that the reason why devastation material is not bottle, the reason why devastation material is not bottle is because in cases where it's a devastation material, we pass on to Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mina is not bottle. Usually min b'mina, we argue on Rabbi Yehuda because we say that every min b'mina is really min b'she'eni mina, because it's isrin to heter. That in itself identifies this as not min b'mina. It's sort of a not min b'mina. But if the So that, in cases where it's devastation material, it's going to be heter tomorrow, so then it's more similar to the heter. It's not min b'she'eni mina, because it is min b'mina. They're both potatoes, and this potato is mutter, and this potato is also mutter. It's not always usher, it's only temporarily usher. So the Shulchan says, so, if it's going to be sometimes mutter and sometimes usher, now it swings back to being a case where we would not possibly repeat it. Okay, that's one way. And even according to Rashi, I believe this is Aruch Shulchan says this also. Rashi says, "Asher techlenu be'iser achol beheter." Rashi, it is understood, the Mordechai understands that you only say that when it's going to come a point, or it's going to come a situation that I'm going to be free and clear. I could just say, come tomorrow, when Yom Tov's over, I'm free and clear, I can do whatever I want to. Okay? But if I'm going to be restricted after that, it's going to fluctuate back and forth between mutter and usher, so then it's already like sort of like burdening me too much. That's not like realistic to me. Eat it only on these days, only on Tuesdays, not on Wednesdays. Okay? So, it's not so simple to say that over here, because over here, it's basically mutter. It's 8 days a year that it's usher, okay? But that's considered, the Mordechai is holding, if he holds like Rashi, that it's enough to say that it's not the devastation material. Okay? Any more questions? Yes?
The food will go bad before next Pesach, so it's now the devastation material?
Yes, because it will never be chosli yisuri. Yes, I would say that, yes. Which is pretty common, right? Then you would say it's never going to come back to being heter again. It's come, Pesach is over, I'm allowed to eat it for good. I believe that would be great.